Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kafenion. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara, and our program will be coming to you
with treasure stories about our Lord every Sunday morning at 9:30.
Well, a happy good morning. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've had a tremendous feedback, and I'm so happy to be part of this, that heard the last week's program, even from the station personnel here, about the treasure hunt and how it related to the Lord and how St. Peter was sent on the first treasure hunt to retrieve money to pay taxes. And of course, the interesting part of it was the fact that it's in the 20th century, the Lord himself personally sent me, and not only as a bishop, but as a man of Christ, to retrieve in history. But, you know, I can go on and on and on. That's a long story. A book has been written called God's Ocean, and it's on a CD tape. We even have a DVD tape showing pictures that have never, ever been shown before of actual underwater discovery of Spanish galleons, and the history that comes behind it is just astounding. Because it does. It touches on the Protestant Reformation, and you probably ask me, well, why? But I have a different subject today. I mean, I don't want to get into the treasure story that much again this Sunday, because I want to talk about some issues that have come to the forefront regarding the church, regarding the people and body of Christ, those that are in the leadership role, those that are to protect the faith, those that are responsible, certainly for the hearts of the children. Is the church, its priests, its bishops, its hierarchy, its pastors even, those that claim they are professed Christians, are we on the same plane as the first church? Are we on the same plane when God, through his word in Malachi, the last, very last words of the Old Testament, and God said, he shall turn, and who shall turn? He said, I will send you Elijah the prophet, the Spirit, before the coming of the great. And the next word we should listen very carefully to, dreadful day of the Lord. The Lord's return is not going to be a Pollyanna, you know, you can do it to me again, folks. Put me on a cross and crucify me. Oh, no. He's coming with power and with glory. And what does God say that this Spirit will do in the church before that coming? It says that his prophet Elijah, or Spirit that goes on, we know it was actually given to the apostle John, or John the Baptist, really, who wasn't apostle, he preceded the apostolic succession. But John had the spirit of Elijah, the Lord said so, and that is written in the New Testament. But the Old Testament, the last, very last verse, the very last paragraph in Malachi of the Old Testament before you move to Matthew, go see it for yourself. It says, quote, and this is God the Father speaking, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Those are very profound words, but and it should introduce the topic of the subject today, this morning. Where are the heroes in the church? Where are the martyrs in the church? If the hearts of the children are not turning to the church and the fathers, and the fathers to the church, this is something that needs to be addressed. When you see on internet today something that astounded me, it was quite by accident, and I believe by the Holy Spirit I was able to be aware of this. There's a website that says Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. I was dumbfounded. I nearly fell to the floor when I read that. And I realized that there's an organization that's meeting, and this one was meeting as I read the release on the internet that in Orlando it says that they're having a press event outside the chancery of a church, coming against the fact that the hierarchy and the bishops aren't leading the flock, but are allowing the abuse of the flock by priests. What has happened to the knights and the knightly spirit of the first church? Who were the priests? Who were martyred? Those that gave their lives and their blood for our Christianity that we so hold to our hearts today. How can there be abuse of the flock? Where are the heroes? Where are the crusaders? In asking you this, let's go over what a real crusader and how that even began. To compare, why do we indeed have crusaders today carrying the banner of the cross? Let us speak about the definition and how we even came to know the word crusader. Crusaders take their name from the Latin word crux, quote unquote, a cross. That was the crusader's badge, the cross. Their origin begins with Constantine the Great, who was known as Flavius Valerius Constantinus, who lived in 280 to 337 AD. He was the first Christian emperor of Rome. And you know, it's interesting that Constantine attributed his victory at the Milvian Bridge when he won full power of the Roman Empire to a vision of the cross seen before the battle. And he adopted the monogram of Christ on his standard. He called it the Laborium. And on the uniform of his armies, he put the cross. His Christian mother even went so far who founded the basilicas of the Mount of Olives and at Bethlehem, and found the actual cross that Christ was crucified on. Getting back to why there is a survivors network of the abused priests, it shows you, of abused by priests, it shows you how down the church has gone from not only being not martyrs and not giving up their life for God and Christ, not bringing certainly the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children, but quite frankly, you look everywhere and you find many, many in the church are turning off the flock. Where are they going? Where can they go? Let's talk about an order that I was given the honor of, and I was more than I deserved. And that was when I was knighted in Malta to the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre. Yes, I took an oath. I held the cross. I also held the sword. And this order is very significant because it has reference to the most ancient and eminent Greek Orthodox, and the first orders emanated from the Crusaders. They were founded by, as I said, by the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great, and because he found the Holy Sepulchre and the Holy Cross on which Christ was crucified and died, and he knew that it needed protection. Empress Helena discovered at Golgotha the cross on which Christ was crucified. The Crusaders were formed into a special force to protect these places, especially the Holy Sepulchre, the one that I so cherished as being a knight, Chevalier Paralambos. We also know later Crusades were expeditions against the Muslims of the Holy Land. Yes, against the Muslims. Where is that crusade today? Especially the Muslims of the Holy Land. They were aimed at to recapture Jerusalem because the Turks, known as the Saracens, in 1087. The desire of many to take pilgrimage to Jerusalem was refused, but they had and was spurred by the Byzantine emperors to seek help in reconquering these lost provinces. The Crusaders had success against the Muslims, especially in Spain and Italy, lest we be talking Arabic in those nations today. The Crusaders and all of the above initiative of the papacy were the main causes of the First Crusade. There was a desire even of the Frankish princes to gain territory in Palestine, and of the Italian cities to develop their trade with the East became increasingly important. Pope Urban II proclaimed the First Crusade at the Council of Clermont in 1095. Itinerant preachers such as Peter the Hermit rose crusading favor. His fervor went on, and the bands were set off in 1096. The well-formed feudal armies were followed, in which France had the largest share. They captured Jerusalem. In 1099, they set up Christian states along the Syrian and Palestine coasts of the Kingdom of Jerusalem and three principalities of independent foundation, but which was later became Tripoli, Antioch, and Odessa. Brothers and sisters, tradition shows that there were other organizations, mostly known as the Orders of the Example, the Orders of St. Catherine of Mount Sinai, very important one. I wear a ring from that order. My mother, who was a Catherine, received it from Mount Sinai, the Order of St. Catherine. And we know that that's where Moses was and met God with the burning bush. It has a military character, if you look at that, because the defense of the sanctuary there and the holy relics of the saints are protection. And it was protection there at Mount Sinai against the Muslims. Where is our battle going today? Is it proper to say that the Order of the Holy Sepulchre had the same prerogatives of the Order of St. Catherine? Yes, because they all protected the Holy Sepulchre of Christ. But putting this into philosophical terms and theological terms, are we protecting Christ? What are we doing in our church today? We're failing, yet we know the gates of hell will not prevail. Obviously, we have a worthy adversary that is pulling down the church and its work. Priests are abusing their flock. Pastors have twisted scripture. Email us, Archangel Michael, ARCHANGEL, Michael, MICHAEL, at MSN.com. We are interested in your comments. We know that there's hundreds of interpretations of the original Greek that spoke the perfect truth of the scriptures. We also know that Mount Sinai was protected. The Holy Sepulchre, namely the Templars and the Hospitallers of St. John, were combined military prowess, and they all had religious vows. Do our armies today have any religious vows to protect Christianity? Of course not. God has been clearly kicked out of our government. So how can we possibly look for any type of crusader help from our governments? No one. That's at least if we went back in history and saw Constantine, who ruled the Roman Empire. His soldiers wore the banner of a cross. What are they wearing today when you look on TV? As you see them being slaughtered and trying to prevent slaughter in Iraq. I only point out that battle because what is that battle? What is the real meaning and victory of that battle? What is the meaning and the real victory of winning Iraq? Is there any type of ecclesiastical gain that can come from our men dying there, who now number nearly 30,000 wounded and dead? What have they died for? Well, they all have honor. Those men died with complete honor. Those men died believing they were fighting for something. Yes, we've been propagandized in believing that we are preventing any invasion into this country to harm ourselves and be harmed. They're already here, folks. It's been proven and published many, many times that there's already been an infiltration of potential terrorists that are in this country. How then can we be protected? It's been said that it's not a military victory that can be attained in Iraq. If you want to say that our soldiers are crusaders in the Far East, but then we have people like Petraeus, General Petraeus, saying it can never be a military victory. So it's really contradiction of terms, that it can only be political. Are we there just to protect a political empire or a political philosophy? Is that all and the only reason we're there? Oh, we've been told time and time and time again, and even this week, our dear president said that we can win. It's a possibility that we can win. It's reduced itself because now I believe the American public finally realizes that the goals and purposes of this war don't meet the sacrifice. I'm not against war. I'm for crusaders. As I said, I am one. I was made a knight 3 years ago. But my purpose for being a knight was to protect the Holy Sepulchre of Christ. And in translated terms, in transparent terms, that means the truth of Christ, where he was resurrected, the resurrection of Christ. I've taken religious vows to be a crusader and to be a knight for Christian response to the protection of Jerusalem. We know that history has said many, many times that the beginning of the Crusaders had been on bad terms with the Byzantine emperors, so as possible allies to the restoration of the loss in these lands of Crusaders were not bent on carving up principalities for themselves. They became sad disappointment. No different than the disappointment of today, because our goals and purposes in fighting this war, saying for protection, lacks one important thing. Our soldiers do not carry the cross on the front. They carry protection to keep from dying, keep from being wounded. These are young people. The average age is 19 to 20 years old. And yet, they really believe they're fighting for the camaraderie. The camaraderie that comes with being a soldier and fighting next to another soldier. But I challenge today what we're really fighting for. I challenge today, since we see the decadent action of some men that claim they are of God, and we see them falling. Yes, we see them on both sides, the traditional church the Reformation Church. We see them being exposed of their immorality, disappointing and dragging people down that believe in Christ. Let me read something to you that is in the history of the Byzantine Order. It traces its reorganization after Emperor Constantine died, and there became, because of malpractice, political events and military events causing the fall of Constantinople. This was the capital of the Byzantine Empire in 1453. And what happened? God allowed this capital, the first place where the world and the Empire of Rome were called Christians, the first Roman emperor who protected and started the Crusaders to fight for what was right, not political reasons. What happened to these events? They severed the bonds between the Eastern and Western Christendom. 1054 saw, of course, the split between the traditional church. Who was left? Believe it or not, Russian Grand Dukes granted assistance and protection to the dispersed knights of the Holy Sepulchre, the order which I belong to. And I read directly from the history that's recorded about our Crusader order and our knightly order. The Orthodox Crusaders, who had militated in the Order of St. Catherine of Mount Sinai, came along and came together since 1063 at that time, and they fought. They all fought for the same goal, even though there were various crusades, but always for one thing, the liberation of the Holy Land. And then the Holy Sepulchre, which still remains today a place of where, miraculously, believe it or not, a light comes forth every Pascha, every Easter, from the innermost part where the Archbishop of the three Armenian, Greek, and Roman churches have security and presence. He comes forth with a candle that he goes in. No one knows how it is, but a holy light lights that candle. If that candle ever comes forth out of that sepulchre, any Pascha, which, by the way, the end of this month is Easter, both for the Western Church and the Eastern Church. Because of the Gregorian calendar, they come at the same day, and we celebrate Lent as we're into now. But if that archbishop comes forth without that candle being lit, we know it's all over. But as long as that candle is lit supernaturally and miraculously, and it's been challenged by scientists, and no one knows how it's lit, but it's automatically lit, showing the faith of Christianity, as Christ said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. But what's being said today is quite simple, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're not worthy. We're not holding up the banner of Christ. The church has been reduced down to, certainly in this country, believe it or not, to 23,000 different denominations. How can we possibly win this battle against the enemy? And who is the true enemy? Is it Iraq? No, it's not. It's Satan, the enemy. He works, I would say, really, he's quite clever. He uses magic. He uses types of presentations to get us off the mark. And that's why I believe that it isn't a matter of supporting troops. It isn't a matter of even definition, really, are they crusaders or are they just military fighting because a president has sent them there. But why are we fighting? Have we not been, so to speak, deceived? Should we not be fighting more for our Christianity? Should we not be fighting for the fact that the original principles of Christianity are really worth dying for? That's why we have in our history so many beautiful stories about the martyrdom. If you've ever been to Rome, you need to see, and I know that the spirit that I saw there 2 months ago when I was at the Colosseum where many, many Christians had been slaughtered in lions, you could see where the lions were. There was different layers to the Colosseum. Oddly enough, it's not just a floor, you know, like a roller rink or something. It has multiple floors, and the animals that tore their bodies apart were kept in one area below them. And as they were released, they were slaughtered and eaten alive. Why did they give their lives? Because they established the fact that they were willing to die for a principle that was representative of the cross. Let me tell you why I even spoke about the story of the Golden Madonna and Christ Child and the treasure that was recovered, and why this is an ongoing project of bringing children to interest in our school systems, where we're allowed to go in and actually preach God and Christ in areas where they've been legally kicked out, where God was kicked out by our form of government. Let me say what really has happened. We're allowed to go in because we're fighting for a principle, where the principle is the Lord God and being taught in Christ. The principle where others in this country have removed the Christianity that should be here. The Father's hearts to the children and the children to the fathers. The church has become so decadent, not in its services, not in its, how do I say it, its philosophies, but in its lack of duty. Where are the martyrs today? Where are they going to be? Are we going to have any martyrs in the end before Christ comes? Is the Lord going to find faith when he returns? Is he going to find crusaders? Is he going to find the true knights that are willing to give their life for Christ and Christianity and the truth? Or is he going to find a system that's set up and protected by governments that rather wage war for political reasons? Admittedly by our government, we're really in Iraq for political resolution, not for any other resolution militarily. So why are we sending more people there? Because we're going further spiraling down, leaving ourselves removed from the true principles that God would have us have. And that's to have Christ and love in our hearts and at least a principle worth dying for. Thank you. God bless you. I hope this hasn't offended you. I hope this has opened your eyes and your ears and your heart to what's being said by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless you.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at
Archangel Michael, ArchangelMichael, Michael, MichaeL, at msn.com.
I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.